Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
And on this week's podcast, we decided to revisit Eli Roth's classic 70s era, almost unremakeable Cabin Fever. It has so many distinct qualities that I don't know that in the future, if anyone wanted to remake it, that they even could, because
wait,
it's
who,
that
who
classic.
Eli Roth's fabulous Cabin Fever.
I don't think anyone has. I don't think anyone could. So that's why we're watching the original Cabin Fever this week, which spawned two sequels, Cabin Fever 2, which I don't think is a bad movie.
Hey,
it's absolutely underrated, I think.
Early Ty West, yeah. Not friend of the podcast, but someone we would like to friend. The person we always hover over on Facebook and would like to friend, but don't quite know well enough, Ty West.
Hey, we watched the new version of Cabin Fever.
Which, what are you talking about?
So apparently there's a new version out.
What?
It just came out, yeah.
What are
yeah,
you talking? But that movie's only like 15 years old.
But it's okay because Eli Roth did this one too.
Right.
Ostensibly.
In the intervening time, racism has been solved, though.
I think
no more racist joke in the original one. That was okay in, what, 2002. In 2016, we don't put up with that anymore.
I think that is probably the biggest accomplishment of the Obama presidency. Is that it has
the remake of Cabin Fever?
Yeah, I think that we live in a world where Cabin Fever can be remade without a totally unnecessary and completely out of context racist joke that made no sense in the first place.
Imagine he did promise change, though, and there wasn't really much change.
Yeah.
What do you think will be different about the one that comes out in 2028?
Oh, who knows?
Flying cars.
Maybe they'll take out the weird homophobia that's in both of these movies.
A cure.
Yeah.
I mean, it just won't happen.
Better than that, Robert Smith is on the vacation with him. It's the...
So, yeah.
Robert Smith's going to be alive.
This time, Cabin Fever.
Zero was better than this.
I can't say that.
No, it is. It is because this is absolutely, hands down, the most pointless movie ever made. It doesn't matter that it's actually not awfully made.
Right.
There's just absolutely no reason for it to exist at all. If they're remaking the exact same movie over, there's no reason for it to exist.
Lona just made the best point ever is that Eli Roth is covering Eli Roth now.
He had nothing to do with it. I'm not even sure why he allowed them to put his name on it. He took the money.
Because he is a narcissist.
Yeah.
He is the Donald Trump. He just likes
of horror
things.
Hey, you want to talk about a movie? This is going to be the best movie. I can't even tell
I got
you.
All the words. You know, there are a lot of good. I'm well educated. Of all the words, I've got the best words. That's what Eli Roth said about this.
It's terrific.
Direct quote.
It's got people.
Look at that guy over there in the wheelchair.
It's got people. They've got
look
hands.
At him over there.
Yeah, I don't want that to be taken as me saying that I liked Patient Zero at all either. I just at least didn't feel the entire time watching it like, wow, I've already seen all of this. Like I did feel that way watching Patient Zero because it was derivative, but not because it was the exact same script filmed again.
You know what's weird, though, is I actually, at least I knew what I was getting into here. It's kind of like... It's kind of like the 12th season of American Idol. You're like, you know what? There's not really anything surprising here, but I know what I'm... It's why people watch... This movie is the network sitcom of movies.
Even then, they get a different joke. It might be the same type of joke, but it's a different joke.
It's like they just updated the references to reflect Call of Duty.
Right, yeah.
Right.
I'm going to no-scope them. What?
And the actors to be MTV show. I mean, I don't understand why this wasn't an MTV movie that, you know, they're remaking Scream. Now they just start making, like, TV movies based around.
I would watch a Cabin Fever TV show. I would 100% watch.
Cabin in the Woods TV show.
I would watch a Cabin Fever TV show.
It would just be my house during the holidays.
Exactly.
So I don't know who any of these actors are.
I don't either. I have no cultural reference.
Like I said, and that's what I said, like MTV. One of them's on Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf, yeah.
And the other one is, isn't that Alexander Daddario's brother?
Right.
I assumed.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, there can be only two.
Yeah, and he was in, I can't remember what it was. He was in some series. None of it mattered. But the biggest one is that is the blonde is Gage Golightly, and she's in Teen Wolf, I believe.
Oh, okay. And she's honestly the best part about the movie. And there's not much to it. As I watched it, I thought, like, well, you know, it's not bad. And so, like, I was like, I know everything that's coming up. I know how it's going to happen. But it's, like, it's weird because it's still kind of a well-produced, well-acted movie. Like, that's the weirdest part about it. They chose to change nothing about it, save for, like, the very super minor things.
Did you guys get the Shining reference at the beginning?
Yeah, the music, right?
It's the overhead shot of the car going down the road, too.
It's also the music, isn't it? The bum, 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 bum.
Did the original Cabin Fever open with that?
I don't remember.
See, that's the problem. I didn't take the time to.
But it's definitely this.
I'm going to go on a limb and say yes.
Right.
I think I would say yes. Was it in the original? Then probably. Mm-hmm. I've actually interviewed the guy who did the music for this, Kevin Ripple.
The music. The music is really good.
Yeah, he does video game music, and I can't remember what I interviewed him for, but yeah, I think the music was pretty good for it. The thing is, like, all the parts here are good. Like, Ladyfingers, good. Jam, good. Meat, good. Does anybody get that reference?
Is that Pulp Fiction?
Nope, that is Friends. When Jennifer Aniston tries to make the lady finger. Never mind.
Mm-hmm. She can't.
It's the Thanksgiving. Okay.
Because she's super excited. And so, mm-hmm. like, everybody is like, oh, it's delicious. Except for Joy, who's like, oh, this is delicious.
Yeah.
He eats everything.
And then Chandler's like, it tastes like feet. No, it's David Schwimmer. He's like, it tastes like feet. Anyway, that's our Friends Minute for this week.
I mean, I just think that, and the things that, I think the things it lost that this filmmaker doesn't have is Roth's at least sense of humor about it all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, is it then gets played completely straight, and it's just like the scenes with the kid Dennis in the original have always stuck with me. There, it's like lunacy when it happens. The way he yells at pancakes and like attacks him and all that stuff. It's insane. And this one, it was like, I mean, I knew it was coming, and then it was not interesting when it happened either.
I thought they had done away with the kid when they cut to the dog's bowl and he yelled pancakes at the
me
dog.
Too.
Oh, look, they're at least cutting that part out. No, they still had Donnie Darko light.
Yeah, I also think that what's weird about this film is that it, in a weird, because it excises the comedy, it makes it a lot meaner. Like, it makes a much, like, the humor at least made it campy, and this is just a much meaner, straight-faced horror movie that, like, it's still not shocking, and it should be shocking because it has more whatever to it, but it's not.
That was the one thing I took away from the original Cabin Fever so many years ago, is Drew saying, it's like, it's so good because Eli Roth is so mean to his characters. Like, he's just, you know, oh, you fall in the water, guess what? Dead body. You fell in a rotting dead body.
And it's also funny. Like, the fact that it's what worked about Cabin Fever that did not work for Hostel is that, yes, he hates his characters, but, like, the fact that he has such a sense of humor about it makes it almost more horrific, because it's just like, I don't care and I'm laughing at you at the same time. It's really weird.
All right. But then he also gives us usually really awful characters too, so there's no one you feel sorry for. But I don't even think it does even the gross stuff worse. I think, like, the scene I always remember as being horrific is the bed finger bang scene, which in this
we have a record. Drew just said finger bang on the podcast.
I don't know if there's a better way to
comfortable about it.
He did.
Yeah, he had the requisite amount.
You gotta slide into it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if there's a better way to
just... Lona, I see what you did there.
Thank you. See, now he's mad.
Now we busted the internet.
In the
for
original
him.
One, oh. I even watched the scene over again to compare. And
yeah, he watched it over again to compare.
Yeah, for science. I watched it for science.
I need to watch
it
at least 68 times.
It's a much better scene than the one in the new. And the new one's not even as horrific. It's like he reaches his hands down and touches her thigh, and then he comes up with a wet hand.
Oh, what? Uh-huh. Not been there.
In the original one, though, is the scene like I was waiting for the sound.
He was waiting for the sound to break off and
done.
Yeah, and I figured they'd go even more over the top. Like, the sound design in the original is what's crazy.
Yeah. I, like, if anything, it just shows that Eli Roth, despite his sort of meandering career, is actually a talented filmmaker. He's just kind of like, okay, so let me make a comparison. He's kind of like Quentin Tarantino, except like Quentin Tarantino. I know. Okay, so listen to my point though. He's kind of like Quentin Tarantino in that, like, Quentin Tarantino made Reservoir Dogs and then Pulp Fiction, and then he decided he was going to slum it for, like, he's like, I'm just going to do what I want. Like, I'm not going to aspire
bit acting jobs in everyone's films.
I'm going to make Jackie Brown, which is kind of like, I want to do this, but not necessarily, like, I'm not going to try to top Pulp Fiction. I'm just going to make more Pulp Fictions. I think Eli Roth kind of has the same trajectory, but just on a lower tier. Like on the bar graph or whatever, you just move down a few points and it's like the same lines, they move in the same direction. It's just he's much lower on the scale. Do you see what I'm saying?
The X and Y axis.
He made Cabin Fever and then he's like, I'm just gonna make some more Cabin Fever.
Yeah. Really. He did that. I mean, Hostel and Hostel 2 just feel like Cabin Fever in a different place. Kind of, in a way. Like, and then, you know, what has he done? Okay, what did he direct? What was the next movie he directed after after Hostel 2? Was it Knock Knock?
It was either that or Green Inferno, I guess, right?
God, man, that's such a long time.
And he did follow Quentin Tarantino's trajectory because he just starred a bunch of films, too. He started acting.
Yeah, I mean, he was a star in a Quentin Tarantino movie, for God's sake.
And honestly, I think he's better at that.
Like bit parts?
I liked him in those movies.
Yeah, I mean, he has charisma. I think that's one of the reasons why, I mean, I also think he's a good director, though, and I just don't know what's happening with these projects. Like, Green Inferno and Knock Knock, I would say that the biggest problem with those for me is the script. Like, I watched Green Inferno last week and just didn't... That movie did not connect with me, really, at all.
I mean, that's still his fault, though.
Yeah. How about he also produced the Eli Roth's The Stranger, which is probably... I think it got best of last year from us?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I
mean, he has done a lot of producing. He seems to like want to find other talent. But it's weird because he's a director like that. For me, that's where his talents lie. I think as far as sort of more recent horror directors, he should have been sort of the person at the top of the mantle. Like, I mean, he had this trajectory to carve out this style. I don't know if it was partly that the torture porn or Gorno, as Drew likes to call it. I don't know if it because that market bottomed out or what, but something happened and he just stopped directing.
Well, I don't understand why he never made the Thanksgiving movie that everyone, mm-hmm. that was always rumored that everyone wanted.
It was probably because Robert Rodriguez made the Machete movie and I was like, oh man, maybe not.
Yeah, but I think this one had more potential than Machete. I never thought that was a good idea.
No.
Although, actually, Machete, the first one's fun.
It's fine. Like, it's totally fine. I mean, it has... The thing with Robert Rodriguez is he seems... I loved his early movies, but he seems like kind of a slime ball.
The trajectory that I would compare Eli Roth to is Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah. I think like what you're saying casting. Is since Machete is fine, we're talking about cromulent Rodriguez.
Shut. Oh, my God! Okay. That's my one... You work it in every episode. It's fine. It's totally fine.
It's a catchphrase.
Is it? So you're like Ricky Gervais from Extras. Like, you're going to live on your catchphrase for 3 seasons.
You're having a laugh.
So, yeah, I mean, Robert Rodriguez is known for stunt casting and making these, like, passion projects that are pretty small scale. I think Green Inferno and Knock Knock feel like that. I mean, Knock Knock, I think, at least aspires to be something interesting. It kind of falls short. Like, the script isn't quite there. Green Inferno,
the ambition is there.
Yeah, like,
for the Green Inferno.
It's just the movie doesn't quite connect. And maybe it's because he took such a long time off and he spends so much time, like, co-writing and producing and, like, that's where, like, he doesn't want to be a director. Like, it's very clear that he doesn't want to be a director.
Green Inferno and Knock Knock are like the Stephen King, Richard Bachman books, the desperation and,
Regulators
is like the same actresses in both movies, just as different people.
Kind of, yeah.
One of which is his wife, or one of whom.
Which one?
The dark-headed girl, the main girl in Green Inferno, and then the dark-headed of the pair.
I did not realize that.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, okay.
Stephen King's wife?
Yeah, that's Tabitha.
That's Tabitha King?
Yeah, damn. Never thought it, would you?
Damn, Stephen.
But yeah, I mean, ostensibly, going back to this Cabin Fever, like, It's perfectly
Cabin Fever.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine. Like, I think the gags are, I mean, it's like, I can't think of a thing to say about it that's not just like, well, when I tweeted about it last night, I said it's just the Gus Van Sant treatment of Psycho.
Even that, though, I mean, Gus Van Sant's still a much more imaginative filmmaker. There's stuff in there that he adds in. I didn't like it at the time, and I still don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
But he puts his spin on, like, it was an experiment that he was doing. He wanted to experiment to make a Hitchcock movie now. Like everything, like the way it looked and sounded. And this was just, hey, we got the script. Let's don't write a new one, and let's just film it.
That's so weird. Go ahead.
I like to think about the, the Hollywood moments when these things are approved. We're like, well, yeah, let's do that. I mean, why don't we just remake, somebody brings in a script, like, it's just like Cabin Fever. We should just remake that. Well, shit, yeah, we should remake that. And then, like, everyone up the ladder is like, someone's going to stop this. I'm not going to do it.
See, there's no ladder for this movie, though.
No, so it was like...
just a small company.
Well, I think like, what...
floated to the top.
Yeah, it's like, well, this is the turd that didn't go... like, this one is full of beans, so it floated. We're going to...
The real bad turd was Outbreak, apparently.
Yeah.
They canned it after Patient Zero, or the real turd, I guess, was Patient Zero, which did so badly, they canned Outbreak and just decided, let's just remake the original.
Which, like, all right, so...
No, thank you.
To be as cynical as possible here, like... As a creative person, it makes no sense. But if you are someone who wants to turn something into a franchise, and they very clearly want to turn Cabin Fever into a franchise, people have very short memories. And so I think what they probably thought is like, well, we have this actionable property. It has a name, so it's going to have some immediate cachet. Rather than make a stinker of a sequel, like, let's just remake the original and like try to reboot this thing. Like that, I mean... it happened within, 10 years with Spider-Man? So, like, we can do
it. That's a different thing, though. Like, that's a whole new movie with everything different. I agree that, I mean, they're still rebooting Spider-Man. It's that same idea. But this is even different than that. They're not even trying to reboot it. They're just...
Yeah, they're not... This one, they're not really trying to introduce a new version of a character. You know, like, Tobey Maguire's was a little bit too goofy for Spider-Man over the newest one. Like, he's more of a, I don't know, he feels...
I thought that was more good. I thought those movies were more good, like, infinitely more goofy.
Did
you? I did. Like, well, at least the sort of Spidey banter was, like, way more Spidey-y, like, way more comic book-y, I thought. Anyway, but, I agree with you. Like, I'm not trying to make a case for, like, this being a good business decision, but, like, if you isolate the parts, it makes sense. Like... okay, we're going to pull some kind of hip actors. We're going to use a script that works. We have the name. We have, like, the director has a last initial instead of a last name. He's Travis Z. So, like,
I thought his name was Travis.
Travis. He is Travis. No, you have to pronounce the Z. It's Travis.
Travis.
No, but I think, like, if you isolate those parts, like, it makes sense. I mean, business-wise, especially if you're just trying to float an idea. I mean,
float a turd. I agree with you in the sense that the idea of that people having a short attention span, because when Cabin Fever came out 15 years ago, I mean, there are kids now who are 15 years old who are seeing this for the first time and realizing, oh, this is this is gross. Oh, you know, it's a remake. And we would be the fuddy-duddies, be like, it's just a remake. It's not as good as the original.
I was in college when that came out.
I mean, I know. I think that's just the all-time fuddy-duddy voice.
But no one is seeing this one either. Like, I mean, it's not like there's a group of 15-year-olds who all of a sudden are discovering it and being like, oh man, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen or anything. I mean, at that point, just go and watch Cabin Fever, or better yet, don't ever, and you could watch something else. Those kids could spend their time actually watching the movies that have already been remade, but that are... their originals are better.
Heard the number one complaint about the original Cabin in the Woods is it wasn't a 4K print. So that's why they had to
Cabin
remake
Fever.
Cabin Fever wasn't a 4K print. So they had to remake it for a 4K edition for the new projectors.
They needed a 3D and everything. Where is that? Yeah.
Most projectors don't even show black and whites anymore. Can't even show black and white movies anymore.
Mm-hmm. There's our racist joke.
Do you ever see the movie The Big Picture with Kevin Bacon? Christopher Guest.
A while back, yeah.
I've never seen that movie.
He's trying to pitch his idea to the studio, and she's like, He's like, it's in black and white. No, there are no projectors that will show black and white anymore. He's like, that's not. If you haven't seen The Big Picture, you need to watch our talks about Hollywood and stuff like that. It's a very good commentary on the Hollywood life.
What is the shortest time frame between horror remakes? Like, what's the shortest? Because I mean, we've had
gotta be this.
Do you think so? Like 15 years? I mean, because we've had a veritable fuck ton of remakes since. But I mean, what was the first? Like, what started this? Was it Texas Chainsaw?
Halloween.
Was that
no
Texas Chainsaw Halloween. Was more Halloween. Halloween was like 2007. Texas Chainsaw was like 2003. I think that was kind of what started this whole thing. Because it was that, and then it was like Prom Night, and I mean, because the Friday remake didn't come out until 2009. So I'm trying to think of like what Platinum Dunes movies. I mean, there was The Hitcher, but even that was like 20 years. This is, God, it's so.
Prom Night's 08.
Huh?
Prom Night's 08.
Jesus. Okay, so that's even after Halloween. Like, I guess this has to be the shortest time between remakes I can think of. Like, remakes or reboots. I don't know. Yeah, it's really weird. I don't.
I mean, I just go ahead and insult it and call it a remake. I mean, there's no reason to give it any sort of undue, you know.
We're getting the
anything else. It's. I mean, but yeah, I don't think there's anything that's been remade sooner that I can come up with because there's no reason to. I mean, at that point, like, there's just no need. I mean, the argument is, there's an argument to be made that there's no need to make any remakes, but there is an argument when you have such a generational gap that. Mm-hmm. All right, you are making one that's more accessible to a different generation. I just don't think Cabin Fever, the original one, is that far removed from modern horror.
It's really not.
A new language for the kids today to get it.
Well, I guess like
no scope. They use the term no scope.
God, I mean, I think in part it's like a hey, there is no. I mean, there is no overriding movement in horror right now. So like maybe there. They thought like, man, this will kickstart a new trend. I don't know. Like, I can only think of cynical business decisions. Yeah.
It's like, man, nobody's ever made a film of people camping in the woods before. It's going to be amazing.
Nobody's remade a movie this quickly. Hmm. It'll at least get, I mean, to its credit, it has gotten press for that. Like, that has been the lead on most of the story. So, like, rather than just be a forgettable sequel, like, at least, I mean, you know, Onion, I mean, the AV Club's writing about them. So, like, this, cynically, this is getting them press. And people are watching because they're like, God, I have to see how close to the fucking original this is.
That's true. You can't spell infamous without, famous.
You can't spell infamous without inf.
Every second I was watching it, I really was just like, I'd just rather cut this off if I'm going to have to watch Cabin Fever and just watch Cabin Fever.
Well,
but that was the problem I had with it. It's like, I found no reason to be watching it at all.
True, if you already own Cabin Fever on DVD, how are they going to get more money out of you? They can't. If you're going to rewatch the original, they can't get more money out of you.
I mean, I understand that. Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, to a degree, it's like, I don't know. I don't understand. Like, at a certain point, I was watching the movie. I was like, I kept watching, not because, like, I wanted to see the ending, but I wanted to see, like, because I didn't know about any of the press for the movie. I kept thinking, like, all right, so at what point is it going to branch off and be its own movie? Like, I kept watching, waiting for that to happen, and then it never did. It had a slightly more sort of, like, muddied ending. Like, I think the ending is, you know, different, but it's slightly, it's changed, but it's worse. It's somehow worse than the original ending. I don't know. It's just weird that, like, Cabin Fever is not a movie without flaws, and this movie did not try to address any of the flaws of the original.
I like the idea. Thinking about it now, like, man, I wonder if they're like, you know how many horror podcasts there are? You know those sons of bitches are going to watch this movie. Yeah. I mean, that's probably at least, you know, $18,000 right there.
that'll cover the fucking
cocaine budget.
Yeah, that'll cover the cocaine budget.
Because, you know, if I'd ever walked into Blockbuster, you know, 20 years ago, and
guys, hold on a second. Blockbuster was a store, listeners, where people went to physical places to get movies. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they were probably on. No, they were on DVD at that point 20 years ago. But if someone would have told me that, I was like, man, in 20 years, you're going to be paying $7 to rent a movie that you only had to leave the house for. What? Fuck you. Or I'm sure at some point in Blockbuster's
because
career.
Because it cost $7 or because you could do it at home?
No, because it was cost $7. But at some point there was I probably would have said, man, I'd have paid $20 and I had to leave the house to rent this movie. And they're capitalizing on that now.
I think this one, I almost think there's like a brand recognition thing where it'll go quickly to Netflix or like, I think that's becoming a strategy of sources, like get it out to streaming, get it on VOD. People like fucking people who I agree, which I guess is me coming around to agree with you, is that people who want a scary movie, like fuck it. They'll, oh, I can rent a Haunting in New Zealand or whatever movie about some kid getting possessed by the devil that I have no basis for quality. Or here's a Cabin Fever remake. Like I at least know what I'm getting into. I feel comfortable spending $6 on this or whatever, $7 on this. I guess I will. Like, I think that's part of it too, is like, let's fucking get the, instead of making a movie that people won't necessarily rent, like here's a movie that's like, well, I mean, this has, people know this title, so horror movie fans might rent it. Like, I guess that's part of it. Like, because it's not getting released wide, is it?
And we did. We rented it.
I think it did go out, but I mean, I don't think it went anywhere.
Yeah.
It was released. I mean, I don't think Eli Roth can't get his own movies released. Why does anybody care about a remake of an Eli Roth movie?
Yeah.
And Knock Knock didn't get out anywhere. Green Inferno barely got released.
It's a big hit on the festival circuits.
What was Green Inferno?
Remake festivals.
And Knock Knock. And Knock Knock.
Okay, I got one for you. So Hulk with Eric Bana was filmed in 2003, and then The Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton was in 2008.
I mean, I mean, comic book movies
are... I don't think they're the same, that's all.
Like, no, I mean, I agree with you. Like, they're not, but...
Same.
I mean, the difference in a remake and a reboot is, I mean, even like that, you can almost not classify this because even in a remake, they change some stuff. Like, this isn't even a remake. Like, it's,
I mean,
the,
I think
exact
it is
same
a,
thing.
It's a shot for shot kind of remake. I mean, it is a remake.
It is the most remake. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's the most remake. Like,
I personally like Gus Van Sant's Psycho better than Alfred Hitchcock.
Shut your fucking mouth.
It speaks to my generation.
Shut. Please.
I think, honestly, making Vince Vaughn, I didn't get it in the original one, but making him actually masturbate on camera, I understood what was going on so much better. That was what Gus Van Sant brought to it.
I don't remember that part.
I don't trust you people now. I don't know.
Behind the wall. I mean, you hear...
Hey, Drew, you're breaking up, bud.
Like he's masturbating, and they make it clear. Not
yeah.
The original.
Julianne Moore's like, he's definitely masturbating.
I don't...
And this one... Was
I
the,
can't podcast with you people. I don't understand. You can't...
Was weird camper that showed up, was he in the original?
Yes, that was Eli Roth in the original.
Oh.
Eli Roth made... That was why he was there. Like, there are so... Like, okay, so narratively, the original has some huge problems because it does some very obvious sleight of hand. Like, you expect for the weed guy to show up and it's the fucking guy. Like, there are some moments narratively that feel very shallow that I feel like they could have messed with here. Like, I don't know. There's all the weird meandering around in the middle third of the movie. Like, it all... Because I've seen this movie before, it also felt like way longer than an hour and 36 minutes.
Yeah, I agree.
Because like going to see the pig lady and going, I was like, God, this is fucking, like, this is super boring. Like, and only to establish a certain amount of realism. Like, yeah, people would try to leave. Like, that's the only reason those scenes are in there. And they're really boring and don't really, I guess they say like, oh, we know who this character is, the guy who gets, you know, set on fire.
Also,
but other than that.
The they got that Jeep super clean.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like better than the Pulp Fiction. Speaking of Pulp Fiction, the Pulp Fiction car cleaning scene. That thing was spotless. I was like, it's impossible.
I'm a mushroom cloud laying motherfucker. That's one of the best scenes in all. Okay, good. Quentin Tarantino references.
Some, you know, a little, you know, maybe thank you.
You got me red line. Okay. All right. So anyway, we should podcast. We should start a Quentin Tarantino podcast.
Hmm.
Or a podcast that alternates between Quentin Tarantino references and John Carpenter references. Or a podcast where all we do is talk about movies that are kind of like John Carpenter movies.
Hey, guess what? We already did. It's called The Horrible Podcast.
We would call it the Carpencast.
I already cut the script from like 138 pages down to 90 some plus pages. I don't see what got cut. In the new one, they said they did that. Also, yeah, cut out all those scenes that you're just mentioning.
Yeah.
That don't need to be there.
Lop 10 minutes off this movie. Make it an hour and 26 minutes and done. Like, it cuts. I think it cuts a lot of the end. Like, I remember the end being like, all right, so fucking Ryder Strong who survives the first one? So Ryder Strong.
He wanders more, I feel.
Yeah, like Ryder Strong wanders around and ends up partying with the dude who was in the thing. Who was the cop in the first one?
Giuseppe Andrews. He's one of the best things.
Whoa. Drew's having robotic problems. God, Drew, I'm sorry you're having problems.
In the first one. Like, yeah. That's the problem. No one was going to be that.
What was he in? What was Giuseppe Andrews best known for? Drew, do you know? What is his thing? Like, he's a face I recognize, but I can't remember.
He made Pinocchio.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, wasn't that the toy maker's name? Giuseppe Andrews?
No. What? That's Geppetto.
Oh.
God damn it, Brian. Jesus Christ.
The hang on.
That joke doesn't work.
He had a bunch of stuff that he later went on to produce that got pretty. Hang on here. I'm looking up Giuseppe.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Like, I thought.
Giuseppe.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. Like, this movie just doesn't work.
He was in American History X, Independence Day, Detroit Rock City.
Okay. I know him from Detroit Rock City.
He's also in Cabin Fever 2, Spring Fever.
At the beginning, I think. I think. I mean, because what they did was they ostensibly killed off Ryder Strong. So here's a story. Ryder Strong was on Doug Loves Movies a couple of weeks ago and talked about Cabin Fever and said that one of the only reasons he was in the sequel is that at the end he's supposed to be dead, but he's kind of flopping his hand around. Yeah. Like, he's moving his hand. So there was such an outcry online that they brought him back just to kill him in the opening of the sequel to Cabin Fever.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. And so, he didn't mention anything about Ty West. Like, I think it's weird that movie is sort of a foregone conclusion that they made a sequel to it. But like at the helm is Ty West, who is ostensibly one of the best horror directors of the last 20 years. And that movie completely gets looked over as far as horror movies go.
I like Cabin Fever too.
I do too. Like, I think it's good.
He just announced his new movie, In the Valley of Violence. It's premiering at South by Southwest.
Do you know anything about that?
It's got
Western,
John Travolta,
and
Ethan Hawke.
Whoa.
And Karen Gillan.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's got quite a few names attached to it.
Is it a horror Western, or is it like, is he moving beyond sort of pseudo horror movies?
It's a new brand. It's called a Thai Western.
I like
it. Have I made that joke on here before?
Nope, but I like it. That's one I like.
Would have. There hasn't been a Western to make the joke.
I'm a honk.
But not Ty West.
Side note, the more I think about Bone Tomahawk, the more I really like that
movie. Me too. I think I like it better. Like, I kind of reached around with Drew. I agree that with Drew that, like, I think maybe I like Bone Tomahawk better than The Revenant, because I don't know that I like The Revenant that much in retrospect. I certainly would. I would rewatch Bone Tomahawk. I am never going to watch The Revenant again.
I actually rewatched The Revenant.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I was falling asleep and I put it on.
Oh, but you didn't like Seek It Out because you're like, fuck, man, I want to sit through 2 hours of a dude crawling.
I just want to sit there.
The day of the Oscars, we watched it. We started to watch it again. My parents were here, and about an hour and a half into it, we're like, all right, there's an hour left, and we're like, let's just cut it off.
That's how I felt.
We get it now.
Yeah. I think the beginning of that movie is phenomenal. I think the end of that movie is phenomenal. I think the middle fucking sucks.
Yeah,
that's just how I feel. Like, that's just how I feel about the movie. Like, during it, I was like, God, I know this is supposed to be profound, but I do not see the profundity in this movie at all.
The fecundity?
It's not a very fecund movie. You're right. It does not spawn. I think Cabin Fever has been quite fecund.
Yeah.
Lona, what do you think about fecundity?
It depends on the texture. I'm very tactile.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't know how much else I have to say about this movie. Like, I think honestly, if you haven't...
Tyler, hang on. I have a lot more to say.
Okay.
I have notes here. I'm just going to read my notes.
Well, while you look for them, let me say one more thing before you start in on the notes.
Let's keep them wrapped. Let's keep their attention wrapped.
Shut up. So the last thing I'll say is, like, my recommendation would be that if you haven't seen Cabin Fever in a while and feel like, I could watch Cabin Fever again, then I think that you could probably watch this and be fine, because you'd be like, well, I mean, it's ostensibly the same. It just doesn't have... If you're our age, you would just be like, well, this doesn't have the dude from Boy Meets World in it. Like, that's kind of how I felt. All right, Brian, what are your notes, bro?
My notes are Cabin Fever, why? And after the period, after the gross period bang, is like, I imagine it smells like a dead jellyfish on a beach down there.
What does a dead jellyfish smell like?
Would you imagine that?
I don't imagine.
Mix up of that girl in the bed smelled like, I imagine.
I imagine it smells like a dead jellyfish that was jammed up full of brand new pennies for like a week.
Hot pennies.
Mm-hmm.
Lona, what was your overall impression of the movie?
Displeasure.
That's why.
So here's the deal. I watched the first half of it at home, and then my kid was on the talent show today that took like 3 hours. And so I figured out how much time I had before he went on. So I went out to the car and watched the last half of it. So the last half of it was watched with a heightened sense of nervousness that I would accidentally miss my kid's performance, which made the last half better because I was actually scared about something.
So maybe if you were running from a rabid dog while watching this film, it would be good.
It would be good for people in labor to watch.
I like the idea that you should have just had, an iPad and you were just watching it in the crowd.
I really thought about just going out to the car and getting my earbuds and like just propping up in the back
and
row.
Like you cut to the scene where they're like, you get to the scene where they're like, you know, oh, the world's ending, and sometimes you just want to fuck
the person next to you.
Yeah, and the person's looking over at you.
It's like a 6-year-old.
Yeah, the person next to you is looking at you, just do that slow turn. And then you tilt it towards them.
Mm-hmm. Can you read? I'll put the closed captioning on.
That happened to me. That happened to me and Kate coming back from L.A. We were watching. Straight Outta Compton, and got to the scene with all the like the women and naked titties just in the film, and that was like being on a plane and not expecting that to happen. Like I tried to be slick about it, and just like. We were watching on my computer. I was like, I just tried to pull the screen down, but Kate like made a big deal and like jumped into my seat and like tried to slam the computer. And I was like, you're making it really obvious that we're watching something we shouldn't be watching.
People have boobs.
Shouldn't be a big deal. It should not, like, it's fine, but it's, you know, it's a weird public space issue. It's like social contract stuff where you're like,
did you see the recut Oscar edition of Straight Outta Compton? Oh my God! Yes,
is it just Paul Giamatti?
Yes, it's Paul Giamatti's the main character, billed as one man's vision to help four troubled black youths. and the way it's cut, he's like, "I think what you got is good. I think what you got is good, kid."
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so good.
That movie. It's so good. Like that. Oh man. Even though it kind of becomes like a. Hey, Dr. Dre and Ice Cube had really good careers kind of story. Like,
I mean, that ends with the aftermath line.
Yeah.
My biggest problem with the whole thing. It's like, so we're just building up to Dre's
solo
aftermath?
Which was a complete disaster.
Right.
Like, in the beginning, like when he released the compilation album that was Aftermath, like that was such a disaster. Oh, man. That's for a different podcast, guys.
I'm making my own headphones. They're going to be called Beats.
Yeah, that's what he should have done. Yeah. Or he should have gotten a phone call at the end like, hey, man, we found this white rapper in Detroit. You should go check him out. His name is Eminem. His name is Marshall Mathers. He goes by the rap name Eminem. And then 10
years later, he gets why his name is Eminem. Because he realizes that he has two. His name is M and M.
Why would it take him 10 years to realize that?
Because it took me 10 years to realize.
Really?
Did you just realize it right now?
No, I was like,
did you just realize it now?
He just now realized it.
He's smiling. He's saying no, but he's smiling like yes.
Oh, it was.
If you happen to be recording the visual of this, just rewind. You can see his eyebrows shoot up.
It's like what? It's not because he really likes candy.
I thought he was a huge fan of Mars.
All right.
You just got
no. No. It was, I mean, I won't say it was. I'm already admitting it took me forever to realize it. Why does it make it even worse than it's now? It better than it's now?
I just think you're protesting too much.
Yeah, I think, yes.
I'd like to see Jay-Z story next, where he's like, man, all this music online is going to come at you like a tidal wave.
Man, here's the thing. One of the reasons why I wanted Straight Outta Compton to get more Oscar love was that I actually do want to see more movies like that. Like biopics. More biopic rap-based, specifically from the 90s.
Like there to be a whole genre of rap. Well, they made.
I do. I want there to be a
small story. What was that called?
What?
What was the Biggie story that was out a few years ago?
I don't remember, but it wasn't like I want like good movies. I want good movies. That's what I want.
The performance in Notorious is really good, actually.
And then Tupac had that movie about his life with Janet Jackson, the Dead Poets Society one.
No,
Poetic Justice.
Poetic Justice. That was not about Tupac's life.
That wasn't his.
That's
no.
20 years old itself.
Yeah, was that John Singleton or was that?
That was his second movie.
Yeah, it was John Singleton. Yeah, I want more movies of. I want there to be like a mob. I want there to be like a Mob Deep movie, and then I want there to
West.
Yeah, I want there to be fuck. Like, can you imagine if there was like a Beastie Boys movie or like a fucking Run DMC movie? Jesus Christ,
the
so good
biopic,
huh? What?
It's just set adrift on memory bliss, and that
yes,
song from, and the song from Boomerang.
You're laughing. I'm into it.
Oh no, I'm laughing because I love that music as well.
I want to see Heavy D and the Boys. I want to see them in like
D. We got this new contract. What is it? We're gonna do a show called In Living Color, the theme song. Will it be a hit? What do you mean? There's a white man on there.
The Boys to Men's Story. They were boys who became.
I think that would be.
Writes itself. Literally.
Basically, what I want is I want them to redo all of the Behind the Musics, but narratively with actors in big Hollywood films. Like that's what I want. I want them to act out what they actually say in interviews instead of it just being like.
It'd be too deep. The story of the bass guy from Boys to Men, narrated by Keith Morrison.
Sure. I will take it. I'll take it.
And we've come to the end of the road.
You still managed to turn it into a really white sounding song.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, that's so white. Like how you, hey man, you got no soul.
Don No Soul Simmons.
All right. Listen to this Cabin Fever podcast.
Fans. Anyway, yes, the Paul Giamatti Oscar version of Straight Outta Compton is amazing.
I would like to. That would be my recommendation. Watch that instead of the remake of Cabin Fever.
Yes,
the reboot.
I'm actually really excited about the Don Cheadle Miles Davis movie. That looks pretty good.
Yeah, I will watch that, man. Don Cheadle's cool.
Yeah,
I gotta say, man, if they make a sequel, this was a reboot. If they don't, it was a shitty remake. What if they remake Cabin Fever 2, Fever Swamp, or whatever the fuck it was.
Spring Fever.
Two fever puns.
I don't think they will. That's the thing.
Two fever puns in one movie.
What if they made a Cabin Fever 2, almost famous sequel called, instead of Fever Dog, Fever Swamp?
Sure. I mean, why not?
Stillwater can come, reform, and then they will play Fever Swamp.
All right.
At a...
All right. Okay. Keep it going. See how long you can keep that joke going. How many more references can you make?
Just be the Marshall Tucker Band and Atlanta Rhythm Section.
Right. Of course. Maybe some Pablo Cruz.
That was the next one on my mouth. Special guest. And then the second night is Little River Band and Christopher Cross. Now that's a show.
And Wet Willie to finish it off.
And all they'll sing is Dixie Chicken over and over again.
Keep on smiling.
Through the rain. That's right. Wet Willie did Keep On Smiling.
Yeah, Wet Willie did Keep On Smiling.
Little Feet did Dixie Chicken. Sorry, guys. I was off on my Southern Rock, Yacht Rock. Southern Yacht Rock.
You've been thrown off ever since you realized the whole Eminem thing a few minutes ago.
All right. Hey, we're going to end it now. Thanks for listening.
Apropos of nothing.
I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
and thanks for listening. Eminem is his is Marshall Mathers. It's two letters. M.
Stay away from cabins. Stay away from the woods.
Don't catch cabin fever. Just